Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and my special guest, as always, Minister Harold Copeland. And we are continuing in this delightful, beautiful lesson under the umbrella of discipleship. Now, our focus for today has been on the very nature of God. And we are going to continue in this area of the very nature of God. Now, Brother Harold will continue discipling us and carrying us through the Word of God, considering his nature, yes, but all as the body of Christ, children of God, possess the very nature of God when we accepted Jesus as our salvation, as our Savior. Listen to what it says in Luke 6, verses 43 through 45. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man beans out of the good stored up in his heart. Now that's you and me. Let me reread that. The good man brings good things out of the good. Don't miss that. Out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. So what condition is your heart in? And that is the nature of production, meaning the condition of your heart produces the fruit of your heart. We just read that. It was just illustrated in Luke 6, 43, 45. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. Stored up. Don't miss that. And of course, the opposite of good is evil. And the evil man brings evil things out of evil stored up in his heart. So, again, the very nature of God is what is stored up in his heart. And what is in the heart of God, we know that to be the fruit of the Spirit. And we find that in Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. Let me read them for you before Minister Harold comes on and starts teaching us the beauty of his nature in detail. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, those are the things that we should have stored up in our heart. So we are going to continue to get right down to the meat of things concerning the series Under the Umbrella of Discipleship, but the focus is the very nature of God. Minister Harold?
Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I like all things. Paul goes on to tell us, no matter what it looks like, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how long it's been going on, no matter who didn't come out, no matter how many generations it affected, the Word of God says, God works all things together for the good, for those that love him and those that are called according to his purpose. And the book of Hosea would tell us that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And that's why we spend so much time on this teaching. Because if we don't know how awesome God's love is, we don't know the value of what he has placed in us. And because we don't know the value, we won't be able to release the multitude and the abundance of the inheritance of his kingdom that he has placed, the treasures. Paul goes on to say, know ye not that they are heavenly treasures buried? He's talking about the very nature of God. There are heavenly treasures buried in these earthly vessels. He's talking about us that's born again, filled with heavenly treasures. And one thing about a treasure, you can have $1 billion buried in your backyard. You can shout, you can run, you can jump, you can kick. But that treasure will not do you any good until you go dig it out. And it's the same way with the heavenly treasure that God has buried on the inside of our earthly vessels. It ain't going to do us any good until we rise up and dig it out. And that's why we're on this teaching, because we want to dig out and bring out the treasure of God, which is his very true nature. And yes, hello everybody, and welcome. And we release the blessings of God upon you as always. And as you know, I'm Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Kenita Smith, you got it. We are in studio together again. Well, we'd like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio broadcast. Well, we want you to know that it's an honor to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know that we love you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for your life. But most importantly, God loves you with his true nature, his unconditional agape love. And God has a special divine plan for your life. And every time you open your heart to receive the word of God, God is downloading revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit into your heart. And that revelation knowledge will release his divine plan, his divine purpose, his divine goal for your life. And you too shall stand. And you too shall fulfill God's destiny for your life. As I said earlier, we're still on that series under the umbrella of discipleship. And today the topic we're discussing is the truth nature of God. And with no further ado, we're going to dive right into the teaching. And you know we always like to start out by reading our launchpad scripture. Our launchpad scripture comes out of the book of Matthew. That's Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 16 through verse 20.
Matthew 28:16-20 reads this way. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Amen. And our foundational scripture to support the teaching for the day, the true nature of God, the very nature of God. Another very beautiful scripture, we're going to take time to read it, comes out of the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 16, reading through verse 21, a beautiful Pauline prayer. Amen, amen. Now, our focus, the very nature of God, the true nature of God, the very essence of who our God is. Now, we have shown through Scripture in previous podcasts, without any room for argument, that the very nature of God is his unconditional love, the agape. And it isn't that God has love. God is love. And that's the very essence of who he is. That's his very being. His very being is love. And in previous podcasts, through the canon of the scripture, we have revealed that. And if you missed that, please go back and listen to some of the future podcasts. Now, when we talk about canon of scripture, we look at what we call the Holy Bible. And we look at the first book, Genesis, and we can go all the way to the last book, which is Revelation. That's the canon of Scripture. Now, through the canon of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, God has divided it into what we call testaments. And he has divided the canon of Scripture into two testaments. And one testament, we can also use the word covenant, is called the Old Testament and the Old Covenant. And the Second Testament, what we call the New Testament, the New Covenant. And the Old Testament, Old Covenant, New Testament, New Covenant put together make up the canon of scripture that takes us from Genesis to Revelation. And since our topic is the true nature of God, to reveal the true nature of God, God has revealed it, shown it, released it only through the second canon of scripture, through the New Testament. If we go to the Old Testament and try to find the true nature of God, we will be in error. Because God did not covenant the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, with its true nature. That covenant he blessed us with, a New Testament people. And we're going to walk to the scripture and show that. So the true nature of God, unconditional love, agape, it cannot be revealed through the Old Covenant. Okay. In that Old Covenant, that Old Testament, what we see a picture of God. Oh, yes, we do. We see a picture of God. But that picture that we see of him is incomplete. Now, I did not say it's incorrect. I just said it's incomplete. And the reason it's incomplete because there's a small word, but it's dangerous, that stands in the way between God and that covenant. And that word is S-I-N, sin. In the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, there was a virgin birth. There wasn't a 30-year-old carpenter's son. There wasn't a baptism by John the Baptist. There wasn't a 3.5-year ministry on the earth realm. And most definitely, there wasn't a stopping by the whooping post to get 39 stripes on his back. And there wasn't the death of the cross. And because of that, sin was not dealt with in the Old Testament and the Old Covenant. So in order for God to deal with them in the Old Covenant, he had to deal with sin first. He had to punish sin first to covenant with the people. God is a holy God. His holiness is beyond our imagination. The Bible says there is no shadow of darkness within him. And sin without a Savior cannot stand in the presence of the holiness of God. Sin must be judged. And in that Old Covenant, God judged sin. And there are many times he judged it harshly, what we will see if we go further into the teaching. And it didn't make him look like his true nature. The judgment that he brought upon the sin didn't make him look like his true nature. It made him look like a god, a wrath. So the picture that we see in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, that we see of God, I said it's incomplete. I did not say it's incorrect. It's just incomplete. Now, the error is there are some people, and I say pastors, some teachers, some fivefold ministers, who create their understanding of the nature of God based only on the Old Testament, only on the Old Covenant, which is only a partial picture. This is not a perfect representation of God. And when we say the true nature of God, we are going at a perfect representation of the God that we serve and the God that loves us. Unless we understand the New Testament, the New Covenant, and we are able to harmonize it with the Old Testament, we are going to end up misunderstanding the love, yes, and the whole nature of God. Now let's talk about our brother David. David was under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. He was under that incomplete picture of God. And we know the story. David was far from being a perfect man, but he was a mighty man. And God even gave David an accolade that'll blow our minds even right now. Glory to God. I mean, I look and say, for God to say, a man after my own heart? What an accolade that one could receive from God. And David was under the Old Covenant, and he received this high accolade from the heart of God. But you know what? David being a prophet, David saw the New Covenant. He saw the covenant that we was under. And even though God called David a man after his own heart, David was jealous of the covenant that God was going to give us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was jealous, and he spoke that in the book of Romans. We're going to read that. In the book of Romans, Paul talks about it. Chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8.
Romans chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. Just as David also describes the blessedness or the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin.
Amen. That's a man after God's own heart in the Old Covenant, being a prophet, looked down to the New Covenant, the New Testament, and saw the relationship that we was going to have with this unconditional love of God, with the true nature of love of God. And David said, blessed are those that God's going to give them righteousness, and they don't even have to do the work to receive it. A righteousness that the master will walk out for us and give it to us. He'll earn it for us and give it to us. You see, a righteousness where God will not impute their sins against them because the sin has been dealt with. The sin issue has been paid in full because all sin was imputed upon the master, our Lord, and our Savior. The true nature of God, the agape, revealed to an undeserving, an unearning, but a God that wanted to establish a new covenant with his creation, where there would be no distraction that would separate us from him. Paul even wrote, within the covenant, the testament that we have with this God, what can separate us from the love of God? What can separate us? Height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers. Things to come, things to be. Glory to God. The true nature of God revealed, and I like the way Minister Kenita Smith opened up, it's not just the presence of God, but it's the presence that he has revealed and released into our hearts that flows through us as we begin to dig up the treasures, the heavenly treasures that he has buried in us by the truth of the word of God. We're going to balance the covenant, because before we leave, we're going to let the old covenant model, covenant relationship with God without a Savior. But then we're going to let the new covenant model a covenant relationship with the true nature of God with the Savior by his precious shed blood. And we remember we talked about Joshua. Of course, he was of the old covenant, the Old Testament. And before he went into the promised land, God had commanded Joshua to kill everybody. Let's read that. Joshua chapter 6. Verse 21.
Joshua 6, verse 21. And it reads this way. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword.
A complete picture of the true nature of God. It's not incorrect. It's just incomplete. God had to deal with sin, and the way he dealt with sin, he used the man of God to kill everybody in all of the cities. No women, children, or anything that can breathe was to be left alive. With this gracious covenant that we have, that would be hard for us to do. But the difference, we looked at the canon of scriptures, and we started out with Genesis, and we went all the way to the end, Revelation. And we made it known that God divided the canon into two testaments, two covenants. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the New Testament, the New Covenant. And see, some people think that the only thing that separates the Old Covenant from the New Covenant, and if you look at most Bibles, the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Covenant, and then we have Matthew, the first book in the New Covenant. In most Bible, there's a blank page between the two that separates the covenant. And people think that that's the only difference between the two covenants. No, there's a major difference. The major difference between the covenant, we talked about it earlier, in the New Covenant, we find a virgin birth. In the New Covenant, we find the baby in the manger. in the New Covenant, we find a young man in the temple. Mother and father were looking for him. And when they finally found him, he looked at him and said, "Don't you know I need to be about my father's business?" In the New Covenant, we find John the Baptist looking up and says, "Look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, refusing to be baptized by John." We find a 3.5-year ministry that started with turning water into wine and then going on, and we begin to see the blind eyes come open, and we begin to see the deaf ears come unstopped, and we begin to see the withered hand come made whole, and we begin to see the lame begin to walk. And go ask Lazarus when you get to heaven. We begin to see Lazarus raised from the dead. That's the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. We got a Savior to pay to send that in full. It's his precious name. He's God, but his name is Jesus, God the Son, operating under the power of God, the Holy Spirit. When we look at the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, we have to look through the revelation knowledge of the New Testament, of the New Covenant. And if we did, we'll begin to find out, which we're going to see earlier, later on in the teaching, that if Jesus was in his flesh, in his human nature as the Savior in the Old Covenant, he would not have done the things that Joshua did. And we're not saying that Joshua was wrong. Joshua was obedient to God. And during that period, the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, God was operating in that manner. He had to. He was judging sin, and he was judging sin harshly because he had covenant with the people without a Lord and a Savior. All that God did through Joshua was not a true and complete representation of his nature. And remember, we're talking about the true nature of God. And it is not whom God has revealed himself to be to us in the New Testament and the New Covenant. And remember, we read about David. And David, a man after God's own heart, he was jealous of this covenant, this testament, this relationship, this intimacy that we have from the inside out with God, our Heavenly Father. And because of the old covenant and the harshness of the way God judged sin, some people have the impression that God is a God, a wrath, who will wipe us out. Just wipe out anyone who gets in his way. Glory to God. But God has paved the way for us to be one with him. One with him in a loving manner. A loving manner that surpasses the human understanding. Not a gospel of works where we have to work out this relationship. And we do good, then God will put good in us. If we do bad, then bad is in us. And it was read about the tree, the good tree. And the only reason we are good trees is because we believe in a good Lord, and we believe in a good Savior, and we believe in a good God, and we believe in the true nature of God. It's not because of our doing, but it was because of what was already done for us through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, to demonstrate how much our God loves us. Now, let's just talk about some of the ministries that we see in this unconditional covenant, of this unconditional, this testament, this new testament, this new covenant. Now, we have some people, but because they are caught up in the old covenant and they are caught up in the old way that God dealt with people, these people want to be great men and women of God. And what they do is, and I want to make the statement, I want this statement to come out, and we're going to prove this by scripture. What they do is they begin to emulate Old Testament characters. Come on, help me out. They begin to emulate. They still think that God is under the old covenant, and they pick a Old Testament character, and even though they're operated in the new covenant, they want to be like that Old Testament character. For example, anytime someone is told that they want to be a prophet, that they are a prophet, or they have the anointing of the prophet, that person begins to get hard and cruel. Immediately, they get hard and cruel because they pick that, they pick a character, a personality, and the most awesome prophet, prophetic personality in the old covenant was Elijah. So under the new covenant, people get an anointing of a prophet, and they begin to emulate and begin to act like Elijah. They begin to emulate a personality. And you know Elijah, he was an old bony finger prophet. And Elijah would get right in people's face, and he would let people have it. And people think Elijah, as someone, he will rebuke you. He will lash you. He will starve you. He will call down fire from heaven to get his point across. So they find themselves emulating a character. And the statement we want to make is God does not ask us to emulate a personality or character. God tells us to emulate only one person and to follow after only one. And we will show you that by scripture. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2.
Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma.
That's who we should emulate. That's who we should follow. The book of John, chapter 8, verse 12.
John 8, verse 12. And it says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.
Never told us to emulate a personality out of the Old Testament. The Bible says the scripture is established upon two or three witnesses. Let's try one more witness. Let us let Matthew talk to us. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24, 25, and 26.
Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. To a man, if he gains the world, the whole world, and loses his own soul, for what will a man give in exchange for his soul?
Amen. And see, in the old covenant, we do have some nice, obedient prophets. But people do not want to follow them because they figure if they follow after Elijah, it'll make them look good. So all that following after a personality in the Old Testament, that is not of the spirit, that is of flesh. And that is not a commandment of God. That's a self-righteous spirit for somebody to exalt their own self. And if we read in the scripture, God said, follow me and follow Christ. Follow his love. Follow his nature. And that is who we should be emulating. Two covenants. The old covenant. Old Testament, the New Covenant, the New Testament. Separates the canon of Scripture. And because I was taught wrong, first of all, I was scared to get saved because the picture that was painted of this God that I would have to serve. And secondly, because of incorrect teaching and error, after I got saved, I made a lot of mistakes, and I was scared to come into the presence of God because I thought that he was going to release fire down upon me and burn me up. And that's error of teaching. I thought that when I messed up that God stopped loving me, that his true heart of love, his true nature, turned into a nature of wrath, and now he was getting ready to release his wrath upon me. And maybe there's somebody under the sound of my voice that was taught that way or error. But I like what the master say. The master tell us that we shall know the truth. I tell you what, I know the truth today. Through the canon of the scripture, through the person of God, the true nature of God that is revealed in the New Testament, that he's a God of love, and nothing can separate us from his love. And there's no bad we can do, and no failure we can do. There's no sin big enough that will stop us and separate us, that no matter what we do and no matter how we do it and where we go, God's arms is always outspread out, calling us toward him. And he wants us to come just as we are because he loves us just as we are. And he loves us too much to keep us as things. And as I sense the unction of the Holy Spirit releasing the spirit of salvation that the woman of God carried, I'm going to turn the microphone over to the woman of God. And I'm going to allow her to release that, salvation anointing and take us to the cross. I'm going to stop. I'm going to drop it. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to let the woman of God take us to the cross because I know that somebody's heart is being tugged on by the power of the Holy Spirit. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is a time that Brother Harold and I take serious, and we hope that you do the same. This is a time when most church people, from the pulpit to the very last pew in the sanctuary, should be about this opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to give our life to Christ, to surrender our heart to him right now, that it not go another day without taking care of business. And the order of business is to get right with God in our life, in our talk, in our thinking, in our walk, just as Jesus exemplified that in Scripture. I want to read quickly, chapter 1, starting in verse 15. Now listen to what Paul said to Timothy concerning himself. Now, of course, this is to us as well. 1 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 15, in a letter to his friend Timothy, the Apostle Paul wrote this: here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever, and that deserves an amen. Amen. So again, my brothers and my sisters, who know that they have not taken care of business, meaning that you have not surrendered your life to Christ. Paul told Timothy, the worst of sinners. So are we. But God came as a little bitty baby and a virgin woman, died on the cross. Blood ran down his body, paid the penalty for you and me, that we will have life eternal. That's what Paul said. Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience. What does that mean to you, my brother, my sister? That he is waiting for you to give your life to Christ today. He's patient with you as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Think about your age at this time. How long has he been patient with you? That is one of his natures, is patience. He's giving you an opportunity to surrender today by giving your heart to him so that you would believe on him and receive the eternal life that is promised to us who believe. So I want to encourage my brothers and sisters who are listening to this broadcast that we would pray with you as I lead you into a simple prayer of salvation, that you would humble your heart as best as you know how. And I seriously encourage you to be wholehearted with God, not half-hearted. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just repeat the words that I say just to be repeating words. No. He knows your heart. So he knows your heart language. He knows the type of heart you have, my brother, my sister. Seriously. So I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to partner with Brother Harold and I as we pray for the one who say yes today to Jesus Christ. Yes today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you with outstretched hands, bowed head, and an humble heart. I cry out to you, Lord, that I need a Savior. My life has been going down the wide road of destruction. It has bruised me. It has hurt me. It has torn me as well as the outside. My mind is going from top to bottom, from side to side, in fear and uncertainty, in a world that is spiraling down. Lord, here I am. I surrender my life to you. I believe by faith that Jesus died on the cross for me. Yes, for me, I believe, Lord. I know that I cannot save myself, but I know that you have already done it on the cross. Lord, I come today saying yes. Save me. Thank you for your saving grace. Thank you for not leaving me, and thank you, Lord, for being patient with me. At this age of my life, Lord, you gave me chance after chance after chance. Thank you for your patience with me. Forgive me, Lord, for procrastinating. Forgive me for not taking it serious when I heard you nudging me to give my life to you, to turn my heart over to you. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I believe by faith, Lord, and I receive you as my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. This is a day of rejoicing and singing and praising the Lord. For we know the angels are rejoicing, and we know that the Lord is pleased with you because of what you did concerning a heart change, a life change, a brand new born-again life in spirit and in truth. Praise you, the Lord. Had a little technical difficulty, but we have taken care of the problem. But God will be praised regardless of what goes on in our lives. We are to give him all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And this is what it is about, that he gets the glory from the fruit of your lips, that he gets from the hand clap of praise, from singing of the heart, even singing through your mouth. He gets the praise. So we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church, one that has a Sunday school class, that you would be baptized also by submersion of water, that you would seek out a small group in addition to continuing with Mission from the Heart, that you would seek out a small group Bible study class or a discipleship class as well in that church so that you can continue to grow and go in grace. For by grace we have been saved. Super excited for you, my brother and sister, for what you have done in receiving Jesus as your Savior. Brother Harold, do you have any encouraging words for the brothers and sisters that have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior?
Yes, I say congratulations. Welcome to the new covenant, the New Testament of believers, the one that even we read that Paul, the man after God's own heart, who was jealous concerning this covenant. And I just want you to know that you have received that true nature of God, and that true nature of God is working on the inside of you, in you, and through you. And just remember, if you would fall or if you will sin, it doesn't separate you from the love of God. I'm going to give you the prayer to pray. If you still find yourself falling short in some area, don't let the devil tell you that it's not real. Just say, God, give me a greater revelation on how much you love. And he'll do it. And he'll give you a greater revelation that'll pull you out of anything that'll try to pull you away from his love. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the true nature of God. God bless you. We love you. And we thank God for your life. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you, we have just enjoyed the lesson for today. And Minister Harold and I pray and hope that you have enjoyed it as well, and that you continue to stick with us as we continue to be disciples. So we always want to know how the Lord continues to bless you. And we want you to continue to read the Word of God. Don't just depend on us. Have your own intimate time with the Lord. That is very, very important, that we spend time with him. Now that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and spend time with him, whatever set time that you have acquired or allocated for him and you, do it. So that he would open your eyes to the things that you need to see, that he would clean you up on the inside out, that he would purge that old nature, and that the new spirit man in you has come alive and it will grow. And before you know it, you will have a lifestyle that is exemplifying the very nature of God, the fruit of the Spirit. So we just encourage you to continue to listen to Mission from the Heart, but read the Word of God for yourself as well. So always remember that the Word of God will remain, because we know seasons come and they go. Flowers fade away. Trees remain. They die. But the Word of God remains forever and ever. God bless you, my brothers and my sisters, and we pray and hope that you will be able to be with us again on Mission from the Heart Radio. God bless you.